Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Phoenix, Arizona, it's time for Phoenix Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Welcome to Arizona Good Business Radio, connecting leaders together to have conversations about building strong local communities through doing good business. I'm your host, Thomas Barr, Executive Director of Local First Arizona. We're a statewide organization advocating for and celebrating locally owned businesses. We're also the largest local business coalition in North America. We raise awareness of the benefits of building a strong local economy. Our hopes today on the show are to inspire more companies to do good business by highlighting local companies that are building a better Arizona. We're also incredibly excited because you are now listening to a special session of Good Business Radio that features speakers and partners of the 2020 Arizona Good Business Summit, returning January 22nd and 23rd at the Phoenix Convention Center. And today we're excited because we have one of our sponsors and partners, Stephen Harris from Journey Payroll. Stephen, welcome.
Thank you, Thomas. Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Super excited to have you here. So Journey Payroll, or Journey Employer Solutions, as you're well known, has been a partner of Local First for a few years now. When most people hear the term payroll, they meet somebody and payroll might be in your name somewhere, they might tend to turn around and
they kind of run away a lot of times. Like, I don't know what you're talking about.
Right. I don't need that. Sorry. Yeah. How do you, or tell us a little bit about your business and the approach you take to making that thing that might be super boring a little bit more personal from a business perspective?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's definitely more than just handing someone a paycheck. And there's a lot of small, mid-sized companies that, especially when they're startup, when they're just starting out, they think, oh, I'll just, you know, I'll pay them $500 based on the hourly rate. Well, what they don't always think about is the taxes and the tax filings and the returns and all that. So it can cause people to kind of go blurry between, you know, in the eyes and numb and not want to talk about it. But it's a very important thing as far as running your business, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you can't have a successful business if your foundation or back office is not dialed in. So Journey Payroll, between my business partner and I, we want to bring a refreshing way to payroll for Arizona-based companies. I've lived here almost all my entire life, and I love the state of Arizona. And so after working with a corporate national firm for 10-plus years, we decided to launch Journey Payroll Arizona to focus on Arizona-based.
Cool. You know?
It's an exciting time for sure in Arizona as businesses grow and people add new employees, and there's a lot of nuances and different laws that change all the time. And so we're here to protect our clients and Arizona businesses from that.
Cool. So what was it like taking the leap from a secure, safe, you know, job to, I don't even know for how many clients we're going to have this year.
100%. I mean, it was all organic growth. There was no acquisition. It was just, let's start and see how this goes.
Wow.
You know, one of the nice things is we did have a partnership with a group out in Fort Collins, Colorado that helped us get started.
Okay.
They kind of helped set the foundation where we were able to lean on them a little bit to, instead of starting from complete scratch, we had some expertise behind that. But we've become now 100% since day one, locally owned, operated, and everything's processed out of our office in Tempe, Arizona. But I'll say, when we first started and taking the leap, like you said, leaving the golden handcuffs of the W-2 and the safety net, it was kind of like you put together your forecast, like, okay, I think this can work. And then about 2 weeks later, you rip up the forecast and you're like, okay, we got to reinvent the wheel here. But it was a lot of fun, and we're still having a blast. We're growing at a great clip. And
cool.
We've got, you know, we're hiring people on staff. And so
awesome.
It's really cool. We're getting slowly and surely out of that, oh my gosh, is this going to work? Like it's not. There's no more of that fear.
Yeah, that's awesome. And we're super excited to have you guys at the Business Summit next year. I think you guys attended last year. At least you did. I'm not sure if your partner, your business partner, Jamie, was there or not.
Yep.
But what about just the aspect of running a good business or the Good Business Summit particularly has you excited about participating?
Yeah. Well, the Good Business Summit to me is not only bringing good businesses together for the betterment of the community and being out there. I mean, that's one point. But I think when you have a good business, you also have a good, each one of them have a good culture. They have a good framework. They treat their team well. They work on their employees internally, because without the focus on your team, they can't take care of your clients or prepare the goods and services that you're giving out to Arizona or worldwide.
Right.
Without them, if you don't take care of them, you don't have anything. And so I think that is something that does go unnoticed sometimes when you think about good business. It's not so much projecting out. It's also working on internally.
Yeah.
And I think there last year when I was there, both Jamie and I were there. We sat on some sessions and we heard a lot of speakers there that were talking about culture. Mm-hmm. And that's something that we really took and that we pride ourselves on having a good culture at Journey. And so we resonated with that. And we took some nuggets and things and built it out throughout the year.
That's cool. Yeah, one of the people that spoke last year was Matthew Clyde from Ideas Collide. I think he may have been on one of the sessions about culture. And the thing that he always talks about when he talks about culture is not ping pong tables and beer kegs.
Right. It can be, but it's definitely not.
Yeah, it can be like a result of the culture, right. But that is not what makes the culture. So what do you do at Journey Payroll to infuse a great culture there?
Well, one of the things is we empower our people. You know, we don't micromanage. We don't make people feel like they can't do something. We're always teaching. We're always learning. I'm learning every day. I mean, especially with payroll, there's so many things that change. There's so many different types of clients that come out and things are new. And so you test and troubleshoot and you learn and try and figure it out. And it's more of a team environment as opposed to a dictatorship.
Right.
You know, there's no, everyone's kind of on the same page. Everyone's on the same level. And, so outside of that, from internal operations from day to day, we always try to have fun outside the office too.
That's cool.
Back in July, we rented out the front porch area of the Diamondback Stadium and did like a team event and things
that.
So yeah.
That's awesome.
So that was neat. You know, so we try to just do different things. Like we'll have a little holiday get together later this month.
That's great.
So I think just treating your people like equals as opposed to, you know, you're my employee. It's never looked like that. It's a team member.
Yeah. And for those of you listening that don't know Steven, it's one of those things where you can just naturally kind of tell when you get to know someone, like whether or not they're a good leader for their team, you know, and how they are inclusive and stuff. You could really tell that when you meet you and Jamie, that I could tell, you know, anybody that works for you is probably a happy employee because they're being invited to an inclusive workplace.
Right.
You know what I mean?
So, right.
So how many staff do you guys have now?
So we currently have three staff members in our Arizona operation. And we're managing a little over 200 clients.
Wow.
And majority of them are in Arizona. We have others in about 12 to 15 states.
Cool.
Again, our partnership with the guys out in Colorado, they also have about 15 people on staff. And they, you know, we've probably combined about 900 clients nationwide. So the Arizona operation, though, is launched in July 2017. Mm-hmm. So we're about 2.5 years in. And we're growing pretty quickly. And
yeah.
And the focus is, you know, scaling appropriately too. And that's one part about culture is if you start overwhelming your team, you know, we want to see when that's going to happen.
Yeah.
So as we start creeping up on where we might need to start hiring, we're always 6 months in advance. Okay, we'll probably start thinking about it now. So that way 6 months from now, they're up and running and no one's feeling the effects of being under the water.
Right. So some of the things that we talk about on the show and have conversations about all the time is the difference that comes when you compare growing a business that's good and changing a business to be better after you've been around for a while. And so I'm curious your perspective, you know, yourself as a growing business and already adopting principles of great culture and inclusivity and treating your employees great and just overall just being a good business in the community and giving back and all of that. Do you have clients that you work with that, you know, maybe they've been around 30 years and they're looking at adopting better principles and practices and you maybe see them going through those struggles of turning the ship, you know, a bit rather than probably an easier process would be to start those from the beginning, right?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So one of the industries that we work really well with is the trades, HVAC, plumbing companies, flooring companies. And a lot of times those little bit more blue collar type jobs, a lot of it's done by paper or a lot of management is done manually, or they may not have potentially that great of a culture because it's like, do your job, get it done and move on, you know, and that can happen. And we've run into clients that are, as they grow, we see some of our clients that are successful as they're larger, they have already started establishing that culture of some of the things that I've talked about. There's no micromanagement. The departments are all intertwined and they're all working together. It takes a village type mentality as opposed to do your job and go home.
Yeah.
You know, and so I think in that industry, that's starting to take a turn. And one of the things that we've been able to empower our clients is through our technology and paperless new hire onboarding, electronic time tracking, and not putting so much of the burden on the employees to maybe they messed up on their timesheets. Well, you can't do that if it's electronic, right? Yeah. And then your admin can manage some of that. And so we try and put tools and resources in front of our clients and their employees to build up that culture, at least set the foundation for them to be able to take launch from there.
Right. Yeah. Because, I mean, that industry and those jobs are pretty old school.
Yeah.
So I can only imagine a lot of those clients are maybe operating in a mentality of, you know, it's the way things have always been done,
yeah,
you know, and yeah, adapting to new times and stuff like that. Do you see a lot of that?
Yeah, absolutely. And so it's funny when we talk to some of these companies that have come over, I can already tell that we do have an impact on them, because if they were using, let's say, QuickBooks internally, it's all very manual and it's all very mm-hmm. old school. And there's some things that can potentially happen. And so there's hundreds of thousands of payroll companies across the country that you could go to.
Yeah.
But working with someone like us, that we really go in and handhold them and teach them the process and train them and make sure that they're happy with everything, that has resonated with them in terms of building up that culture.
Yeah.
You know, like, we're not just going to send you a reference guide and say, good luck, do your job, go home. We're going to come in and help you, walk you through all that and handhold you. And so hopefully if there's a small portion, some of that resonates with them, they can, you know, work that through their managers, their employees. And it's some of the things I've seen in that industry.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. So talk to us a little bit about what you're excited to be putting together for us for the Good Business Summit in January. I know you're working Nikki Ramirez mm-hmm. and your business partner, and you guys are going to be talking about, you know, as small businesses in Arizona in 2020, things you should know, things that are yep. changing, that kind of stuff. What could we expect to hear from you guys?
Yeah, so there's definitely some changes coming in 2020, not only on a federal level, but at the state level. So we're planning on putting some sessions together to discuss what those look like. Hmm. Also kind of like things, what to look for, what to watch out for, things that have been not necessarily changing, but have been around. And so if you're a small business or a startup, you may not realize that, you know, the things that are already in place that companies have to be on the lookout for is the mandatory Arizona paid sick leave.
That's right.
You know, the E-Verify, the minimum wage laws, things like that. That was part of Prop 206 back in 2017.
That's right, yeah.
So none of that changes. That's still all going to be in effect, although minimum wage is going up again in Arizona. It's going up to $12 in January 1st. And then if you're a restaurant or a tipped employee, it's $3 less than that. So all restaurant servers, bartenders, anyone that's making wages via tips, their minimum wage is going up to $9 an hour.
That's right, yeah.
So some of those changes we'll talk about. But the biggest one, I think, just to kind of give a little teaser, is there's a new federal W-4 form coming out, which is a very far more robust than what it is today. It's not just going to be, I'm single and have one dependent, and mm-hmm. then go from there. The new W-4 is going to start actually factoring in your wages earned, your spouse's wages earned, if you're married, if you have one or two jobs, and these types of questions are being asked. And the purpose of it, even though it's going to be a little bit more complex, the purpose of it is to be more accurate with your tax withholding. Mm. Because at the end of the day, if you're getting a huge refund come tax time, that means you gave an interest-free loan to the government, right?
Sure.
If you don't get a big refund, then you've paid too much or you paid too little, and now you're owing a big, large amount. So the
right.
goal is to just have a wash. You know, and that sometimes can be a miscommunication. Oh, I get a bonus in April.
Right,
well,
right,
it's
right.
not really a bonus. Could have had that last
you
year.
Didn't get what so, when you're supposed to get it.
Right. Yeah. So that the W-4 form is a big one that's coming down.
Wow.
We're fully prepared for that. All new hires starting in 2020 will fill out the new W form, and then
oh, wow.
existing employees can choose to. They don't have to.
Oh, okay.
But those are some of the things that we'll talk about at the summit. So it's exciting because
cool.
there are some good big changes that are happening.
Yeah.
More so than other years.
Yeah.
Especially with the federal side. But I'm excited to work with Nikki. She's awesome. And we've known her for a couple of years now. We've worked with her. We got some mutual clients with her, and
cool.
and she knows her stuff on the HR side of things. I'll tell you what, I'm not certified in HR, so she can handle all that. I'm no numbers guy. I'll do your payroll and taxes and whatnot.
That's a convenient
yes.
position. Yeah. I'm not your legal
yeah.
official.
Nikki, I got someone that you need to talk to.
That's
not
awesome.
For me. But,
that's awesome.
But yeah, I think it's going to be a really good time, and we're excited to be a part of it.
That's cool. So I wanted to talk a little bit about, so you mentioned the minimum wage stuff, and
mm-hmm.
you know, obviously it's something voters decided on several years ago. And what we try to stay focused on at Local First is, you know, what can businesses be doing to adapt to the times? And I mean, things are always changing as an entrepreneur, as a small business owner. You've got to come up with innovative solutions to deal with anything that comes your way, right? So have you seen any innovative solutions from any businesses that have tipped paid workers or are trying to come up with different ways to ensure that they can meet their bottom line and also be involved in the community and all those kinds of things. I know as minimum wage increases have happened across the country, different areas, restaurants have tried different models, such as having like a shared tip policy for all of their employees so that it's not one employee that might get, you know, an advantage over another or things like that. I know Upward Projects does that, or other restaurants have gone to models where, you know, there's an automatic 20% gratuity charge on your bill or things like that. Right. Are you seeing any restaurants or any of your clients testing the waters with any new ideas or things like that right now?
Not anything specific that I've seen. You know, I think it can be tough on restaurants because, you know, you've got part-time workers that now are making, you know, minimum wage $8 an hour, $9 an hour next year, and they're still making the same amount of tips. So I think it goes back to culture a little bit. And I think Upward Projects, I remember them talking about that at the summit last year and how the tip pooling and people are trying to get creative with that. But it also could deter a great employee from working as hard potentially because they know they're not getting all their tips that day. Mm-hmm. Or it could a good or maybe a not so great employee, but then management has to, you know, they manage that, right? They kind of, and that again goes back to the culture.
Absolutely.
And it brings me to, so I'm in the process. I know it's not a new book at all, but started an audio book, From Good to Great by Jim Collins, cool. right? So I've heard so many great things about it and I've never got around to listening to it. I'm about a third of the way through and now he's always talking about getting the right people on the bus, right? Mm-hmm. And I think it goes back to getting those right people. Your good employees are going to stay and do good things for you no matter what. One of the things that we've done, not necessarily as easy for restaurants, but we give unlimited PTO. We don't really, I mean, we track it for reporting purposes, but our employees can, if they request time off, we'll be able to give it to them because, and what I've found is they never request like PTO every day or every week or every month or whatever. So I think that's one little shift that I've seen, maybe more so in the office, you know, type environment where instead of forcing or tracking PTO and saying you can only take 2 weeks a year, why not give them, you know, let them have as much as they want. And then obviously if they abuse it, you know, there's ways to manage around that. Yeah, you have a conversation.
may not have hired the right person.
Yeah, exactly. And so you kind of know pretty quickly who's going to be, you know, your good to great employees, who's going to be on your bus.
Yeah.
And so I don't know if I have a perfect answer for the restaurants, but I know from a back office type environment, those are some things that I've seen help with their bottom line is when you have good employees that are there and building that culture, they're not calling out sick. They're not taking that time off. And they just don't. And you have to like force them to go on vacation, like go do your, you know, so we try to build that work-life balance.
That's cool to hear, especially when, you know, employers like yourself who may not be the most attractive company for like, you know, people to come work for, you know, you're not like this like tech company in Silicon Valley with like bean bags and all this stuff.
Ping pong tables.
Right. And beer kegs. Yeah. But you create a good environment for people to work at. And I think that at the end of the day, that's all people really want is they want to work for an employer that treats them well, that values them, that cares about them. I have a friend, Liz, that runs her own accounting company. And what she does is she actually forces her employees to take vacation every year. And she gives them $1,000 cash to go.
Yeah.
And there's awesome. No, you can't not do it. Like, and if they want to stay home with their family or whatever, they can do it, but they cannot
be at the
work
office
or come into work. Yeah. And she can like monitor if they like log on to their system or whatever. Yeah. And she boots them off.
That's awesome. I think that's fantastic.
She's just like, you have to take the time because it's better for your mentality and all that stuff. So I think it's really cool.
I think it is too. And I think you give, everyone's adults. Right, we're all adults. We need to be able to manage our lives, and you can't rely on your employer to dictate when you can take time off or when, you know, that's a little bit more of an old school method, in my opinion. And so I think if you empower your people, they're gonna treat you back well, and they're gonna treat your clients well.
Right, agreed. Is there anything else that maybe? I mean, you attended the summit earlier this year. You're getting excited to be more part of it next year. Were there any themes or topics or ideas that maybe kind of sparked your interest last year that you're looking to have more conversations about at the summit in January?
I would say, I know we've talked about culture a lot, but I would say I'm really looking forward to hearing some from some of the large corporate type companies.
Yeah.
you know, as a small business owner, you still, even the Good to Great book, he talks about a lot of the large conglomerate type companies and yeah. how they were able to adapt in the industry. And I think we can all learn from that. Even though they're a little bit more slower moving, potentially, and there's a lot of, you know, red flag or corporate red tape and a lot of different things that they have to get through. There's still a lot as a small business owner that you can learn from, and you can be more dynamic and be a little bit more agile as a small business owner. But
sure.
you don't have always that team of mastermind people that are behind you to bounce ideas off all the time. And so there's no one person that does that drives the ship.
Yeah.
And so hearing things from some of those successful larger companies, I think is something I'm looking most forward to, and yeah. taking some of the things that they've been successful at.
That's cool.
And building into our business.
Yeah. I think it's important to hear so diverse perspectives of, you know, business type, length and business size of business to overall take everything in and then make your own strategies and ideas for what you can do as a business leader, right? I know that we have a representative from Lyft that's going to be speaking this year. We have Valley of the Sun United Way, their corporate social responsibility director, who's going to be sharing some stories about how they work with different corporations and things like that to get them to adopt more strategic initiatives to include the community in them. So that's going to be really cool. And then one of our keynotes, I won't give away her whole story, is a woman from a business called Televerde. And what they do is they actually employ incarcerated women through their call center, their technology company, and then help them transition into full-time jobs as they transition out of prison. So it's like really, really cool, innovative stuff that people are doing out there. I don't remember if it was Good to Great or the Conscious Capitalism book, but there was a story. I was telling my wife about this the other day. There's this, when the Great Recession was happening, there was this, I think it was a manufacturing company in the Midwest. And, you know, obviously, Great Recession, businesses were hurting, struggling, trying to figure out what to do. There were layoffs going on, you know, obviously in manufacturing, especially in the United States, a lot. But this one company, and it's in one of those books, they gave an example of where they were getting hit hard. They had to make cutbacks, but leadership made a decision that they weren't going to lay a single person off. But in order to make cutbacks, for everybody at the company that was, you know, working as an hourly employee, they were forced to work, I think, like 32 hours a week rather than 40.
Right.
But everybody stayed employed. And so they didn't know what the effect was going to be, if people were going to leave and go look for another job. But they actually didn't lose a single employee.
Wow.
And what ended up happening was those employees that were actually maybe a little bit more stable than others were donating like some of their hours to those that needed them.
Oh, wow.
So that they could get closer to 36, 37, 40 hours each week. So that, you know, and so it was this like team mentality where everybody came together and said, all right, we're in this together.
Right.
Let's do this. And so it's so inspiring to see businesses come up with such innovative, creative solutions to build inclusive workforces that actually cares about the employees. And then in return from that leadership, the employees stand up and care for each other too.
Right, right.
And I just think, man, like, and that was during the Great Recession.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Could you imagine if businesses were doing that all the time?
Right.
You know? So that stuff's super inspiring to me.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, I'll have to let me know what name of that
I'll
book
find
was.
Out.
Or maybe it's second, third of
the
where
last
I'm
chapter.
At in Good to Great. Yeah, exactly.
I haven't ruined the book yet.
It's not there yet. No.
Cool. So, Stephen, what's in the future for Journey Payroll? What are you guys going to be looking to do in 2020 as you guys move forward?
So we've got a lot of new, we're always innovating. We're always adding new solutions to our suite. One of the ones that it's been pretty powerful is giving the ability for employees to request an advance on their wages already earned without having to go to their employer. So they, within our system, they can, you know, it tracks how much they've earned up to a certain point.
Wow.
And then they can pull funds before payday.
Wow.
And then it puts an automatic deduction on their next pay stub when they run payroll.
That's pretty cool.
And what it does is, it's about the employee experience is something that we care about. And so that employee potentially in hard times maybe need a couple extra $100 today instead of next Friday when payday is. They don't have to go to their employer anymore. They don't have to have that potentially awkward conversation. They can just request it electronically. They get fronted the funds. And then on the next payroll, it gets automatically deducted. But the employer's not on the hook for it. So if they, you know, there's no liability on the employer if the employee leaves or doesn't work enough hours, you know, so it's a really cool solution. That's awesome. We call it our Advance Now. That's something that's really neat. Something that's not necessarily new, but is around as the payroll card, which is a Visa debit card.
Okay.
Employees who don't, you know, a lot of the workforce, a lot of younger workforce, they don't use brick and mortar banks.
Yeah.
They, you know, they just use Venmo, PayPal, whatever.
Wow.
And so they don't have a Chase account. They don't have a Wells Fargo. They don't have a local bank account.
They don't have a checkbook.
They don't have a checkbook. And so we provide what we call a payroll card. It's a Visa debit card. It's just like direct deposit that every time payroll's ran, that gets funded onto their card instead of receiving a paper check.
Yeah.
They can view their balances online and use it anywhere Visa's accepted. So a lot of those types of things we're just continuing to hone in on. Obviously, with the onboarding experience and the hub and, you know, view pay stubs, W-2s.
Yeah.
We've added some, you know, some more strategic partnerships with some 401k partners and different things to have integrations built with our system to make it more streamlined. So if someone makes an adjustment to their 401k, the employer doesn't have to manage that and make the changes manually. It just automatically syncs with the payroll system. And so we work on a lot of technology, innovative ways. But it's funny because, you know, talking about some of the old school guys, they shy away from it. They're like, that sounds way too hard to use. Mm. And it's really not, but we'll tell them, that's fine. We'll do it for you. We can still dumb it down and bring it back to, not dumb it down, you know, but we'll bring it back to an old school method. If they really want us to do the payroll for them where they send us a spreadsheet of hours for all their employees, we'll run it for them.
That's cool.
So we're not so techie, so much so where we refuse to not adapt and be flexible with certain clients. At the bottom, at the end of the day, we want a refreshing way to payroll for our clients and our partners here in Arizona. And whatever their needs are is what we'll provide.
That's cool. I love the Pay Now feature. I was reading something not too long ago that talked about, I don't know the number. Like, I'll say something crazy, like $1 billion. Yeah. I don't know if it's $1 billion, but it's a crazy number. It's in the millions of the industry of late fees and penalty fees that people are spiraled into paying by not paying on time. Mm-hmm. And that's having access to funds that you've earned, like when needed, would be so huge in helping address that issue. Because there, I mean, there's so many people that, I mean, maybe you have an emergency medical expense or, you know, and rather than getting into credit card debt, why not access funds that you've already earned?
Right.
Rather than, I mean, maybe you've got 4 days to wait and you need it now. That's so cool.
Yeah. And it's inexpensive. It's not like a high interest loan or it's just very transactional. It's just a flat fee to access your wages early, like an ATM type fee.
That's so cool.
It's really neat. I mean, anyone can access, you know, depending on what your balance is based on your salary, your hourly rate or whatever, that's kind of what's reflected to you as you go through.
That's cool.
The pay period. So it's a really neat solution. A lot of our clients like
it. And if you think about it, historically, most higher up salaried employees have had, you know, the opportunity to maybe take an advance on their salary. Mm-hmm. So if they can do it, why not everybody?
Right.
You know?
Well,
and it's not really an advance, but it's just access to money when you need it.
Sure.
Yeah.
And there's employers can sometimes, this is where Nikki will probably say he's absolutely right, but employers can't really, you got to be real careful if you offer an advance solution to your employees, but you only do it for some and not for the others.
Yeah.
That can be a really big red flag in terms of the Department of Labor and what you do, you know? So having this advanced solution available to all employees completely removes the employer from even managing it or the liability on it. And the employees can just access whenever they need it.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's so cool. Cool. Well, you listening, you're going to hear more of this from Stephen January 22nd and 23rd in downtown Phoenix at the Phoenix Convention Center, the second annual Arizona Good Business Summit. We're going to have over 500 attendees, 36 breakout sessions, 5 keynote sessions, 1 huge networking event. If you're a business in Arizona, you've got to be there. You got to be there, Stephen.
Oh, yeah, you got to be there. It's a good event for sure.
Awesome. Well, before we leave, tell people how they can find Journey.
So you can find us online, www.journeypayroll.com. You know, our phone number is on there. My contact information will be on there as well. You can find us on Instagram at JourneyPayrollAZ, Facebook, JourneyPayrollAZ. Cool. We do like social media. We like reviews on Facebook and Google.
Right on.
That stuff goes a long way. I think for any small business, we always try to support our clients as well and give reviews back.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things that we really take pride in is you know, showing up to our clients' events, showing up to our partners' events, and you know, focusing on them too.
Cool.
But yeah, Facebook, Instagram, website. Love it. It's a good
time. If you're out there looking for a new job and you've got a 3-month vacation coming up, just remember Steven's got unlimited PTO.
That's right. That's right. Unlimited PTO. As long as you know what a FICA tax is.
Be on your careers page.
Right. As long as you know what a FICA tax is, we might do.
Awesome. So we hope you listening were inspired today by this local leader that is redefining what it means to do good business. We'd like to thank our sponsors, Conscious Capitalism of Arizona, Max 6, and Phoenix Business Radio X. This is Thomas Barr from Local First AZ, reminding you that if we want to build a better Arizona, we need to connect deeply with the local businesses that make us proud to call this place our home.